Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now, pleased to welcome longtime NFL quarterback Gus Frerotte, who is now the host of a podcast that drops on Mondays. It's called Huddle Up with Gus, and it can be found on radio.com, which is our home on the app. We use radio.com to stream our show. You can also check out his website, huddleupwithgus.com. Gus, it's kind of crazy to think about football in 2020, right? Just like everything else, it's a little bit different. But the league has worked so tirelessly to make sure the season takes place. You spent over a decade playing in the NFL. Could you imagine being part of the league right now with no fans, the testing, the protocols, and everything else that's involved with it?
You know, I try to picture myself doing that. And the way I look at it is that, you know, I would tell people this, like, you know, you're not the only one doing it. Everybody has to do it. So it seems like it's okay. Like if I was the one that was sick and I was the only one that had to quarantine, you would feel kind of weird about it. But since everybody has to do it, you're just like, okay, this is kind of normal. We can do this. We know this might not go on forever, but it may go on forever. And I think that through all this, the NFL has done a great job. The product they put out in the field for the first couple of weeks has been great. I think the thing that's going to hurt a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of injuries just because their bodies weren't ready the same way that you're used to in off-season workouts and training camps.
So do you think that the lack of preseason, no actual reps at game speed, is the direct contributor to maybe some of the injuries that we saw in week two?
Yeah, I thought we would see a lot worse football, but I think that a lot of people just came in and they did a lot in 4 weeks. You know, guys at that level can really get prepared to play at a high level because they have tremendous talent. And when you see the guys that are making mistakes, they're usually rookies or younger people. But I don't think that you can prepare yourself the same way for getting, you know, your body in shape to be ready to take the beating, the pounding. I mean, we've seen guys go down with Achilles injuries that are just running down the field and making a cut. Mm. And those are kind of things that, they kind of happen every year. But I think this year it seems a little more noticeable.
You played in a lot of different places, Gus. Can you think of one place or maybe a particular season when the stands weren't empty per se, but they weren't full either? And so maybe it was a sort of simulation of what we're seeing in 2020.
Oh yeah. I played 1 year in Cincinnati. It wasn't one of the best years. So the stands were quite empty, quite a few games. I kind of know what that's like. And when we played in Detroit, we had a good year that year in 99, and we had really had a good team. But, you know, when we lose a game, those stands would empty out, you know, early on in a game, you'd hear the boos and people would leave. And it kind of gets eerie. So I can't imagine playing in a big stadium that can hold 80,000 people and you can hear the other sideline talking.
Yeah, I can't imagine that either. And it's apparently, even with a pumped-in crowd noise, you really can pretty much hear everything, according to a lot of the players who've talked about it so far. Gus Frerotte is a longtime NFL QB, now has a podcast on radio.com. It's called Huddle Up with Gus, and it drops every Mondays. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just out of curiosity, is there one franchise that you associate with more than another? When someone asks you, who did you play for? What's your first answer?
Well, for me, I kind of go back and forth. I go between, the Washington football team, because they did draft me. Mm. And then I ended up with the Minnesota Vikings. And so those two teams are kind of like, I have a lot of connection with, just because they were the first and the last, and a lot of memories there. My kids were born in Washington, so really have a lot of memories there. And then, being 38 and still able to play in the league, which is amazing for me, and I was very lucky to have that happen. And so those two teams I kind of associate myself with the most.
So then what would it take, could you imagine, for, say, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, to play at the level that they do, and to do it even 5 years after the point at which you were still playing in the league?
It's a lot of self-sacrifice, a lot of conditioning, a lot of work in the off season to keep your body at the highest level possible. You cannot go, a couple months and say, okay, I'm just going to take a break and not do anything. And, those guys just are on it constantly. They keep their bodies in top condition. And that's what you have to do, because, their minds are still sharp. But once your body starts breaking down, you can't make the throws. You can't whip that ball, 20 yards downfield like you used to. Then there's always somebody that's coming up to take your spot.
And yet they've managed to hold off all challengers for sure.
They have.
And yet you look around, Gus, and there's this influx of young quarterbacks. So let's say 25 and younger, because Patrick Mahomes just turned 25. There's MVPs. There are young guys who can take off and can juke defenders out of their shorts. I mean, we really do have probably 15 of them now who you think, if they stay healthy, they're going to have really bright careers. And so when you look at the position in the league, how would you say it's changed over the past, 5-10 years?
Well, I think that just the athleticism of the position. I think back in the day, you had a lot of pocket passers. You had some guys that could run around, obviously. A little closer was a Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, Steve Young. And there were some other quarterbacks that could run. John Elway was always known as a runner, but he wasn't like juking people out. He wasn't doing a Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Most of us were pocket passers. You'd stand in a pocket, you were a statue, and you're just, you're just moving in that little box area between the tackles. And it's just kind of how the position was built. We look at Dan Marino as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and I don't know how many rush yards he's ever had in his career. So the game has changed tremendously, but they also make it a lot of fun to watch.
If you're trying to start a team, and let's say Mahomes is not available, what quarterback out there would you take, Gus, that you feel like's the right guy you could build around and be successful with?
Are you talking young quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I built my team around this year in my fantasy team is Lamar Jackson, I think that, he's getting better and better with reading the defenses, getting rid of the ball. He shows that he can make the throws week in and week out. And when you watch him run, it's electric. He can make guys miss. He can escape danger. And sometimes I watch it, I'm just in awe. And I'm like, man, that one year I took 64 sacks. Like, if I could just move half that way, maybe it would have went down to 30. And I would feel a heck of a lot better right now. So, Lamar, I think he's a guy, and obviously there's some other quarterbacks that are out there that are tremendous. Joe Burrow's going to be really good. He's athletic. You see him run the ball. He's just got to figure out how to take care of his body compared to, getting the first down or throwing it away and all those types of things.
When you look at the rule changes, even since the point at which you retired in 2008, do you feel like they offer a lot more protection for guys to take off, to run, and to maybe be creative and not have to stay in the pocket and be safe?
Yeah, but I don't know if those kind of rules have changed that much. Obviously, sliding and, protecting the quarterback is a priority, because you lose your franchise player in the quarterback and your team's not going to be any good. So all the owners want that to be, you know, be a priority. You know, but we've changed rules for every position where, you know, offensive linemen can't cut block a defensive end anymore, can't block it from behind. Back in the day, that was all legal. You know, there was all kind of things that were legal that they've changed over the years to try and make the game safer. But every week we watch, we see big hits. We see guys going down. We see quarterbacks laying on their back. And, you know, the game has gotten safer, but it's still a very, very physical and tough sport. And, you know, you can still get major injuries just like you did back in the day. It's just back in the day they drank beer and smoked cigarettes to get through it.
Gus Frerotte with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. He's got Huddle Up with Gus on radio.com. Some players complain about those rule changes watering down the game, making it softer. When you compare it to when you played, do you believe it's still as good a product?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think they made the rule changes, a lot of them, you know, as far as defensive holding, defensive pass interference. They want to what do the fans want? You know, it's a game. It's entertainment. We think of it as the sport that we played from the time we were growing up. But if you look at it, it's about putting points on the board, scoring touchdowns, big plays. And, you know, the longer an offense that is playing well can have the ball, the more chance that it's going to happen. Yeah, rule changes have happened. You know, we've seen things like pass interference where, you know, it happens to New Orleans and they completely miss it. And the NFL goes the other way, and they're going to really, you know, take care of that. And then the next year, it kind of like falls off again. So it ebbs and flows, I think, with all the rule changes. But I think the game is still the game, the nuts and bolts of it, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Are you ever amazed at the popularity of the league that you played in? Because it feels like no matter what, people flock to the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and even with everything that's going on and everything that Colin Kaepernick started with kneeling and protesting, and you may not or you may agree with it, but, you know, good or bad, the NFL is such a machine and such a product that, you know, they've finally kind of taken the light in saying, you know, we got to back our the people that are playing our games that you know, we respect and all that. And no matter what happens, the NFL is going to roll through. You know, they're going to pick a side. They're going to do what they want to do. They're just such a machine that, and they put such a good product out there, you know, and I'm a huge Pittsburgh Penguins fan. But if the Penguins aren't in the playoffs, it's hard for me to watch hockey unless I know somebody out there. But in the NFL, I can watch a game, any day, any team playing, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of that compared to other sports.
Well, I feel like that's a way that a lot of fans feel, too. A fan in Florida cares about what's happening in Seattle and vice versa. You don't necessarily have to be a fan. But you mentioned fantasy. How much do you think fantasy has to do with the fact that people are so engaged?
Well, I mean, fantasy and the fact that all these gambling sites have come out now, like FanDuel and DraftKings and all these people, it's changed the game. You know, it's really, for me, when I play fantasy and I get to pick a team and a defense and everything, I follow those guys and I want to do well because we have a family one and it's a lot of fun to do that. And I'm trying to beat my kids, right? And so it keeps me involved in the game, even though all my friends that I played with were all older and there's not, I don't know if I have three or four friends playing anymore. So, but it keeps me involved in the game, lets me know those people. And actually it lets me understand their stories. Like, My guys, I want to know where they're from, what they're doing, you know, and it's kind of interesting. It's really kept me involved in the game by understanding the players and who they are and what teams they're playing for.
When you think about the number of different coaches you played for, Gus, there are a lot of systems and different voices. And we've got a bunch of coach movement in the NFL every year. We just heard Ron Rivera about Dwayne Haskins. Mike McCarthy is in Dallas. You just new guys all the time that have to establish their own system. So as a player, adjusting to a new coach, how difficult is that, especially when you've been in that franchise for a while?
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this earlier that, you know, it's like learning a new language when you go in. Now, if the coach has come from the same coaching tree, usually the kind of the verbiage is the same. But if he's from a different coaching tree and they ran a completely different offense, the language is all new to you. Sometimes pass protection are words. Sometimes they're numbers and vice versa. And so there's things that you have to learn, and sometimes it can happen quickly, and sometimes it really takes you a while to understand what each word means. Because in one system, an in route is a four, and another system, it's a dig. And there's all kind of different verbiage for different passing trees and all this stuff. So it takes some time if you're going from one coach to another that is completely different. But I think the older you get, the more you understand it, the easier it becomes. And it's really interesting to get along with a new coach. And I think the most important thing for a new coach to do with their quarterbacks is just to support them. People were talking about Anthony Lynn and why did he say throw Justin Herbert under the bus? And I said, I don't think he did. I think what he was doing was supporting Tyrod Taylor,
right,
saying, look, you earned this. This is your team, and we're going to support you. So when you come back, this team will be completely 100% behind you. And I think that's what he was doing, and that means a lot to a quarterback going out and playing on Sunday.
But as you were talking about the change, Baker Mayfield popped into my brain because he's now on to his fourth head coach, and he's not even two games into his third season in the league. That's a lot to ask of the leader of a team, any position really, but especially a quarterback.
Yeah, that's got to be tough on Baker. I mean, just year after year, you're switching coaches. And I think the most important thing is that they stay the path. They stay the path with a coach, good and bad. You know, the Steelers are known for that. I mean, if you look back through the decade, they've had a few coaches, and you probably can count them all on one hand. And that continuity for the team, for the new players coming in, the old players there, the relationships that are built. When a new coach comes in, what's he do? He brings in a whole new staff. He can bring in a new strength coach. He can bring in a new, you name it, and he has the opportunity to change all that. And so it's not only just an offensive coordinator, but it's completely, it's probably 50, 60 people he brings in with him when it's a new coach coming in. So hopefully the Browns will stay the course with Kevin Stefanski. And I think he's going to do a great job. He's super intelligent. He's a great guy. I think he gets along with the players really well. And hopefully he and Baker can go on and do great things.
Talking is now your profession, and talking about football, but talking about other things as I kind of check out the podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. What do people hear if they tune in?
Well, I'll tell you the real reason why I started it. My buddy Dave and I, we're big sports fans, not only just because I played, but just I'm a big Pittsburgh fan, Pirates, Penguins, Steelers back in the day. And listening to all the talk shows, I get it. You have to do a ton of hypotheticals. You have to keep the show moving. There's a new hour every, new group every hour. So there's just a lot of monotony, and it's just like, man, I didn't want to listen to it. And I said, you could do a sports talk show, but you can have stories about people. And so I was saying to Dave, what can we do? And he said, why don't we just ask them how sports shaped their life? And that's kind of where we really started. So Dave Hager and I started our podcast about interviewing all the people that I've met through my time. My first interview was with Roberto Clemente Jr.
Wow.
At the Clemente Museum here in Pittsburgh. And I said, Roberto, tell me about how sports shaped your life. And we all know his dad's story and how powerful that was for him. And sports was embedded in him. He tried to play, and then we find out through interviewing that, he's had PTSD this whole time since his dad passed. Mm. And he didn't realize it. And, I'm like, dude, I don't want to make you cry, but we were at that point. It was powerful stuff, and so then on, it's just people that I've met throughout my life and been lucky enough to get to know, and just hearing their stories about, when you were growing up, did you go out into a field and did 20 kids come and play with you, and did you play wiffle ball, football, all those types of things? And everybody has a story to tell. I've interviewed doctors, CEOs, heads of companies, and obviously professional athletes, and I've interviewed writers and broadcasters, Jim Brown, which is James Brown, which is a friend of mine out of DC that does Fox, and he's done CBS and all of them. He just has amazing stories that I didn't even know, and it's just a lot of fun to find out that, hey, look, we all have these amazing transitions in our life, and you're not alone. You might be the only one that's ever done what you're doing, but I'm sure there's somebody that's done it before. And if you just keep pushing forward and you keep working hard, great things can happen for you.
You can find Huddle Up with Gus, that's Gus Farratt, on radio.com as well as on the website, huddleupwithgus.com. He's a longtime NFL quarterback and a dog lover. As I look at your Twitter, how many dogs do you have in your family?
Well, we did have a lot through COVID. And, you know, the sad thing, through COVID, we lost two dogs.
Oh.
So, yeah, we lost our bulldog, Coco. She was with us for 7 years, and she had a really bad episode, and we lost her within, like, 45 minutes, which was it was crazy sad, and we had her forever. She was our little girl. And then Rupert, we had since he was a baby. We had his mom a few years ago, and she had puppies, and he was a French Mastiff. And Rupert was, like, my wife's dog. Like, they did everything together, and he was 145 pounds.
Whoa.
He was massive, and, like, she went to bed, he went to bed. Like, they did everything together. And in June, we found out he had bone cancer, and he was just turning 6 years old, and that was a really hard loss. And then so after losing him, all we had left were my daughter's two dogs, and she's been in and out of vet school. And so through COVID, her dogs were home with us, Poe and Lucy. And she went back to vet school, took Poe with her, and left us crazy Lucy. So, and we just actually adopted a new pit bull.
There you go.
Yeah, we went to Humane Society, and they were wonderful. We found him, and he has just been wonderful. But, you know, the crazy thing is we didn't know it. He had Lyme disease, and he was down and out for 5 days. We didn't know if he was going to make it through. So I told my wife, I said, we love animals. We've had them our whole life. We've been married for almost 26 years, and if this one goes, I don't know if I can do anymore.
Yeah, they are like family, and it's so hard to lose them. I actually lost a cat. I know it's a cat, but it was with me 18 years this spring, and you realize they bring such joy. So Gus Farratt, again, longtime NFL QB on huddleupwithgus.com. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.